Sometimes the giants that we have in our lives that seem to conquer us over and over are things that just keep getting in our way. We keep allowing them to stay in our way. They keep being things that trigger us over and over. We keep finding this same giant being there, and we can't seem to be the one to conquer that thing. Maybe it's time to turn that over to God. I'm wondering if there's anybody here that's ever been triggered. Anybody? Okay. Like you've ever had someone say something to you, and you can't help but to say something back. Bam! I got you. Am I the only one? Okay, I'm not. Thank you. Maybe you've seen a social media post where you're just incensed by this thing, and you cannot stop yourself from making a response back or making a comment that it has to just end this thing. Anybody else need to set a person straight on social media? Okay. Or maybe you've had a series of events where everything goes wrong and you absolutely lose it on somebody or someone. Last week we had a preacher here, Brooklyn Ballinger. She talked about a series of events of a horrible, terrible, no good, very bad day. And then she gets to her apartment and completely loses it on her friends. And then she talked about how to apologize. And so I asked her afterwards, well, how did it go? And she's like, that's probably something I still ought to do, is maybe make that happen. Yeah. So when school starts back up, I think she has something to do. So I confess, these things have happened to me. I have tended towards those patterns in life where I get triggered by something, or over the last several years, as I've developed more patience, I can let it build and build and build, and then I strike, surprising everybody in my scorched earth path. I have a tree in my front yard that bears the scars of me being triggered. One time about 16 years ago, I was building a deck on the front of the house, and I had done this thing where you cut twice and measure once, you know, and it comes up short both times, you know, like, and it was probably the end of a long day, and I was probably super tired, and I probably should have stopped 2 hours before that, and probably in those days, because I was young, I didn't understand that about me. You know, I'm just tired now. I should probably stop because I keep making the same mistakes over and over. But instead, I decided that I would take this 4x4 piece of lumber that I had just cut probably multiple times, and I would just freaking wing that thing across the yard. I just hauled off and discus through that thing. And instead of going across the yard, it hits this tree near me, bounces back, hits me in the shins. And that really helped, you know, helped calm me down. Then I realized the error of my ways, and yeah. But the tree still has a chunk of bark that's not there because of the damage that I did to it, because of the thing that I had done. Getting triggered still happens to me on occasion, but nothing like what it used to 16 years ago. I've matured a bit, and I can take a step back now, and I can be more patient, and I can be calm for a longer amount of time. It doesn't mean I don't lose it sometimes, but sometimes I still do, and overall, I'm better. But now, here's the thing. I can start to examine, why do I let these things trigger me? Why? Why does this happen? Generally, it's not necessary for me to wing a 4x4 across the yard. That's unhealthy. It's generally not necessary. But beyond that, what are the lingering effects of me being triggered? How are other people being scarred like that tree because I let myself go due to something that was maybe under my control or maybe not under my control? I have no idea if my wife or kids witnessed that event. Do you guys remember that? Thank you, Jesus. But what if instead of that 4x4 to the tree, then back on me, what if that there was more people who were directly impacted by the anger that I lashed out? not only would they have witnessed that to see that unfortunate series of events, but maybe they would have been harmed themselves. I've never done that before, but we can be honest that it happens. It happens in our homes. So today we're taking stock of the things that, of the impact that we have when we are triggered. Now, you might be starting to think, like, all these sermons are sounding the same, you know, like all summer long. If you've been here with us, you know, so these things are kind of sounding the same. And it's time now for the big reveal, because we're on week 10 of this series, or rather week 10 of steps. 10 steps, this is week 10 steps of the 12-step program. We've been preaching through the 12-step program. If anybody's ever gone through the 12 steps, a lot of this should sound familiar to you. Now, the 12-step program was founded on faith. It was based on ideologies of Christian faith, kind of gone away from that to some extent. We wanted to recapture that. So as we looked at the 12-step program, we're like, this looks an awful lot like discipleship. And so we wanted to create a series that was around the 12 steps without really ever saying it. And we want to recapture what they call a higher power and name that higher power as Jesus Christ himself. And so we claim Jesus Christ as the person who guides us through all 12 steps. But what the 12 steps do is zoom in on particular areas of your life and then zoom back out. This is a zoom back out day. This is where we take stock. Let's look at the things that trigger us. Let's name them. And let's look at the harm that we've done for two people when we've been triggered. Let's name it so we can start to identify these are the things that cause me to react in a negative way. These are the things that cause me to lose control of myself and go down a path that's not healthy for me or for others. We're giving control of ourselves to somebody else, to another situation, when we let our autonomy be controlled by this trigger, by a situation, by a person, by a comment, by something on Facebook. When we lose it, we're giving up control of ourselves. We're giving up our autonomy to something else, to our anger. And we do this by going off on some sort of deep end, whether we hit the reply and just bam, 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 I'm going to set them straight. Or maybe we go on a weekend bender of drugs and alcohol because something happened back here that made me do this. We give up control of ourselves. Or maybe we go on a shopping spree where we have retail therapy and we put ourselves deeper in debt because we couldn't control this situation that happened back here. Or how I often do it, maybe done it, maybe do it still yet, eat an entire pizza and polish that off with a milkshake chaser. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. That large, extra large, all meat. Yeah, man. Amen to gluttony. Or maybe more simply, as teenage boys punch through the wall, you know? Just pow, just punch through the wall. Or a pillow, hopefully not people. I think it's a good idea to take stock of what we've done to harm people in those out-of-control moments, but even better, it's to take stock of why. Why does that happen? Let's take stock of our triggers, and how can you start to rescue yourself before that happens? How can we stop ourselves from committing that sin, committing that error that would harm ourselves or other people? How can we stop ourselves from being consumed? And I think it's a mindset. In the end, it's just a mindset. It's a mindset that easily gets triggered. It's a mindset that says, I'm offended, and therefore I will respond in this way, whatever the way is that you typically respond in those things. Now, there's cases where being offended by certain things is actually good. We ought to be offended by some things. Human trafficking. We ought to be offended by that. The proliferation of drugs in our society. Let's be offended by that. How money is spent in government. Let's be offended by that. Let's be offended of certain things, but let's also respond properly. Not having a disproportionate response maybe throwing a 4x4 treated piece of lumber against an unsuspecting tree is not a healthy, good way to go. But it's our mindset that causes us to overreact and overrespond in these types of situations. And so we're going to look into the scriptures. I've got two for you today that we're going to look at. Romans 12, 2 through 3. Here's Romans 12, 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's a kind of famous or common verse. We've heard that verse before. I probably preached on it here or there. But let's think through that verse with this topic in mind, this topic of what's the pattern of the world when they're triggered? What is that? What is the pattern of the world? How do most people react? They go over the top. They overreact. They overrespond. They throw 4x4 pieces of lumber into trees. The world escapes pain by self-medicating or numbing through drugs and alcohol. The world eats its feelings. The world has sex in order to feel something different. The world chooses violence when it is triggered. And so Paul says, the author here, do not conform to the pattern of the world. That's the world's pattern that we're doing. Don't be like that. He says, just stop it. Why you gotta be like that? Don't do that. Instead, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change your mind. Think differently than what the world thinks. When you're triggered, be different than what everybody else would do in that situation. Play a different mind game because it's all in your head anyway. There's a term I've been learning lately. It's called mindfulness. Mindfulness. Most of you are probably way ahead of me on this. But mindfulness is basically when you can be aware of your thoughts and your feelings. You can be attuned to what's happening inside you based on this situation or the circumstance. Be aware of those thoughts and how you're feeling inside to respond. And the thing is that when you're triggered, that thing that somebody says, and you can't control that thing, mindfulness says, all right, let's be aware that they've said that thing. Now, what's going on is like these synapses are firing in your brain. That's what's causing these responses to happen so that you feel this or you think this. There's just stuff happening. You can't really control the chemicals that are flowing, at least not yet. Mindfulness helps you start to understand this is a chemical reaction that's happening in my brain. I can't control these chemicals, but I can control my response. I can control what happens on the outside. You can't control the surges of epinephrine and non-epinephrine that are the anger hormones that are coursing through your veins, at least not yet. But you can be mindful of its impact. You can say to yourself, that thing made me very angry when he said that. The pattern of the world is to punch something. I recognize I have epinephrine flowing through my veins right now. That is a chemical that makes me angry. You can say that to yourself. And because I can't control what that person said, I can control how I respond to chemicals. I am not going to punch something right now. Now, that's not fun, okay? That's really not fun to say all those things. It's more fun to go, screw you, and hit back. It's way more fun. It's more release. But it's maybe healthier to recognize, to be mindful of what's happening in the situation. This is a transformed way of a renewed mind. Interesting thing here, the word transformed in Greek is metamorpho, which is where we get our word metamorphosis. Right? Remember, you know that word, metamorphosis? It's like, isn't that what happens to the caterpillar that becomes a butterfly? Right? Be transformed, be metamorphized. For Paul, he says the transformation is so life-changing, it's like going from a worm to a butterfly. You might not even be recognizable in this, and it all starts with a changed mindset. All those little synapses that are happening in your brain, all the little neuropathways in your brain that connect to one another, the ones that drive anger, you can retrain those. You can retrain it so it doesn't affect you the way it used to. You can start setting a new mindset, a transformed mind that is not conformed to the way of the world. And then there's this little thing he says at the end of the verse. He says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. When you're out there blowing your stack, blowing up everything and everybody, whenever something negative happens, you are not exhibiting the mindset of a transformed mind. Paul goes on. Oh, I wanted to finish that. You're not exhibiting a transformed mind, and untransformed mind in the pattern of the world cannot understand the good and perfect pleasing will of God. You can only do that with a transformed mind. You can't get God's will into your life when you're out there blowing up all the time, or when you're out there deconstructing your entire existence by lashing out to everybody else. You're just blowing it all up. I have a problem here, Abby, or no, Sarah's up there. My notes end there. I don't know why. I don't know if you could run that down there to me while I start on this next thing. So the next verse is verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Isn't that part of the problem? We tend to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. I mean, we think like, well, I don't deserve to be treated that way. And that might be true. Like, if you're being treated poorly, we need to have boundaries and people need to respect you. Thank you. And we need to be treated as the Imago Dei, all of that. But there's also times when we're like, don't you know who I am? You should not be treating me this way. I'm too good for this to be happening to me. You can't say that to me. Now, my kids will use this phrase of people who have that pattern of the world, that particular pattern of the world. They'll say, she's giving main character. And young people just laughed at that. The rest of you, let me explain how that works. It used to be you would say, they're giving main character vibes. They've dropped the vibes now. Main character means it's a person who thinks the whole story revolves around them and everything needs to go the way they want to go. And we're all just bit players in their world. That's somebody who thinks more highly of themselves than they ought. That's how Paul put it. He would say he's giving main character now. All right? We think too highly of ourselves. It's when we've harmed people and when we tell the story about the harm that we've done to other people, the only thing we talk about is the harm that they did to us. And we don't say the part about how we harmed somebody else. I just want to say the main character of your story isn't you. And it's not me. It's God. God's the main character of your story, and sometimes you're living in the story of God, stuff happens to you, and even when you think it shouldn't, you aren't too good for life to happen to you. I have a friend who's always under spiritual attack. Every time we talk, life's fallen apart, and it's because of spiritual attack, or at least that's what he says. And eventually, I had to tell him, like, you're experiencing life. What you're going through is just life. Stuff happens because we live in a fallen, broken world. It's not necessarily demonic. These are things that everybody goes through. It's about how you respond to these situations, to these challenges that life brings. Paul says, rather thinking more highly of yourself than you ought, he says, think of yourself with sober judgment. This is interesting. I read several places that sober judgment means see yourself as God sees you. See you as God sees you. And here's the thing, I believe that God sees me as a person who's redeemed in Jesus, that God sees me as what I will be, so not so much as what I am right now. And I'm thankful for that. I believe that God sees me now as the full completion of what he is transforming me to be. I believe God sees you that way too. He sees you as the completed product of what he's transforming you to be. What if we saw ourselves that way too? What if we saw ourselves as beautifully redeemed sons and daughters of the Most High God, rather than worthless wretches who get offended and make bad decisions? What if we lived now into what God is redeeming us to be in the future? What if we thought of ourselves that way? This is how God sees us. I'm going to live into that now. Not perfect, at least not on our own power, but perfected or in the process of being perfected in and by and through the ultimate love of Jesus. And when we have that, we've got no reason to be offended. We don't need to be triggered anymore, and we have no reason to offend. We should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, nor should we think of ourselves more lowly than we ought. There should be truth and humility working together to see ourselves properly in the created order and within our community. And Paul says this should be according to the faith that has been distributed to each one of us. It's going to look a little bit different for everybody. Isn't that interesting? So this is according to the faith that's been distributed to you. We're all in different spots. Some people just have more. Some people have different kinds of faith than other people, and that's okay. But it should change our expectations of others. They go, okay. They can't help it. They said that. This is how somebody can say something to you, and you cannot be so offended by it that you blow up. You just say, that's who they are. They can't help it. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have boundaries. Doesn't mean you should let them harm you. Like I said before, you should still be respected, treated in the image of God, that sort of thing. What I'm saying is you can let things go unretaliated. You can let things go unretaliated because you are living into your destiny as a redeemed child of God. Now, I have one more passage I want to share. It's my favorite verse, and I am not sorry if you are tired of it. Philippians chapter 2, this is 12 through 13. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, here's the phrase I love, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do, or to work toward his good pleasure. It's the Apostle Paul again. The overall point of the message is to take inventory of things we've done to harm people in response to the harm that's been done to us, but then to change it, to stop living into those patterns and be mindful of our triggers, of what has happened to us to get us to that point, and then not let it happen again. And I think this verse is helpful for that. This verse is helpful because we continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Don't stay where you are. Keep working at your faith. Keep moving forward. Keep thinking about your faith. Keep praying about it. Just take another step in faith. People who've done the good work of deconstructing their faith, they've done this with fear and trembling. It's really difficult to pick apart your faith that you inherited at childhood to make sense of it for yourself. You tend to lose friendships. You tend to lose relationships over it. You tend to lose your community, all the while questioning if you've gone crazy and maybe lost your faith altogether. But it's just one aspect of working out your salvation. People who have gone to therapy and counseling have picked apart their lives to see what has happened in their past to make them who they are today. It's hard work. It's done with fear and trembling, and it's not an easy road to work out who you are. But you're not alone in your salvation. There's one crucial step to therapy, to counseling, to deconstruction, is to remember that it is God who works within you. God is working within you to redeem all that stuff, to make it right within you. We believe that God can redeem all the ugliness, all the darkness that you've experienced, because we believe that God redeemed the ugliness and the darkness that happened to Jesus on the cross. That moment of awfulness was redeemed by the new life of resurrection that came from it. There are things that trigger you. There's things that trigger me that cause us to lash out against other people. I want us to take an inventory of those things so you can see that those things do not have control over you. You can control them. You can control you. We have a guy in our world that is really good at apologizing. He's so good at it. It's because he has a lot of practice. And it's because he keeps getting triggered and he lashes out. And one day we were like, hey, bud, why don't you not do the thing that causes you to have to apologize? Let's go one step behind it and work that out. Make a list of those things so you don't have to get good at apologizing. Let's work on the thing that makes you triggered and ask God to redeem that thing so you no longer react in negative ways that harms you or harm others. Look, I'm by no means perfect. I am not perfected, but God is perfecting me. I'm by no means in control of myself at all times. I don't lash out like I used to, but I still do it from time to time. I'm probably by no means done deconstructing my faith, but I'm continuing to work out my salvation in fear and trembling. I'm by no means in full understanding of all the things that have happened in my life, but God is redeeming those things. Take an inventory. What are the things that trigger you to do harm to yourself and to others? Then start to no longer conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That old tree in my front yard might still bear the scars of what I did to it. I had a hasty reaction. I hurt that thing. It still bears the scars of what I did to it, but I'm never going to do that again. I'll never make another one like that. And I'll continue to allow God to transform me. I urge you to join me on that journey. Let God redeem those things that hurt you. Transform the things that cause you to hurt others and yourself. Let's pray. God, in the moment that we have those triggering things, we find it the most difficult thing to stop ourselves, and perhaps the most satisfying thing to proceed. And so, Lord, we ask that you help us to take stock of those things. Help us to find the areas of life where we've been harmed that cause us to trigger out and harm others and react or sink into some sort of depraved action, go on a bender, whatever it is that we do to respond to those things. Help us to step away from those. We ask you, Lord, to help us not to conform to the pattern of the world, but that you would transform our minds. Cause new synapses to develop in our brain. Change the chemicals. Help us to not have the actions and their visceral responses that cause us to do these things. Lord, be with us. We know you're great enough to do those things. But now, Lord, may we trust in that greatness so that all of you flows through all of us, that it's your very breath that comes out of us instead of the anger and the hate that comes out. It's your love. It's your word. It's your praise that comes out, and so that your glory is seen in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. As we close this morning, we're going to sing this song. If you got to go, you can go. Just do it quietly, we ask. But some people are working on some things, and we sing this song. Feel free to come.